But you mentioned that you felt that the battle was won. But what about the war?
Well, it goes on. This is, after all, this world is the battlefield. Yes. But what I mean by that is that somehow a tide is beginning to turn. Yeats uses the symbol of the jars, which are, of course, Platonic and Indian also, I believe.
Right. Yes.
And after swinging so far that way, humanity's had enough. There's a turn of the tide.
Yeah.
And all things run in that unfashionable gyre again.
Yes, talking of gyres, again, you know, going through my own work, going through the Vision of Art, I couldn't help feeling that perhaps in the course of this very year, I'd come to a point corresponding to the point at which I'd arrived when I wrote the Volition of Art, perhaps on a slightly higher level of the spiral. So I can't help wondering, you know, whether I might not even in future be trying to express myself more in terms of poetry than prose. Because in the course of the last 20 years, when I've been concerned with the work of the FWB, I've given lots of lectures, I've written books, I've held seminars and discussions and question and answer meetings, but sometimes I've thought, well, wouldn't it be good also just to write poems and go from place to place reading them? Wouldn't that be an equally valid, perhaps an even more valid, way of communicating whatever it is I have to communicate?
I could. Depends on the poems.
Yes, of course. Of course. One is not, of course, one is not thereby making any claim for the poem as such. One is not even claiming that it is a real poem. But at least one could read it and see what effect it had upon people.
But silences can also communicate. When we encounter people, we aren't really listening to what they say so much as what they are.
Well, I can assure you I have quite a lot of experience of listening to people.
Yes.
The last few days I've listened at some length to, I think, some 60 odd people, some of whom have told me some very interesting things. But yes, we have to listen as well as to try to communicate. And there must be space for silence. I find personally, I don't know how it is with you, but as regards whatever poetry I have written, the poems usually spring out of periods of isolation and solitude and silence. I could almost guarantee if I went off somewhere on my own to some quiet place where I could be by myself, within a few days I'd be writing poetry. But in between bouts of administration and even giving lectures, it just isn't possible.
Well, it's very therapeutic. Even whatever the poem is like, it's good for people to write them.
Yes.
And I should think probably 90% of people here would find the same, that from time to time you write poems, not necessarily with a view to publication, but in order to bring something to the surface.
I think nearly half the people present have sent me poems from time to time. And I take this opportunity of saying I always read them, and I always enjoy them. I don't know whether they're poetry or not, but I enjoy them.
It doesn't matter, does it?
Right.
You can regard poetry, the use of poetry, as that people write it or that people read it. They're two different things, really. But to return to this thing of the religion of art, it's liable to become a heresy. I think you make that clear in your book. And I have been a Blake scholar for many years, and of course Blake was the first, as far as I know, to speak in the terms of his time of Jesus the imagination. In other words, he used the name Jesus, for which the Indian would use the word the self, and as a Buddhist, what would you call it? The Buddha nature, the...
One could say Buddha nature. The Zen people often say Buddha nature.
Something like that. But it is that which is within all. It is the human existence itself in Blake's terms. And he identified this with Jesus. And he said Jesus and his disciples are all artists. Meaning that the human imagination, the true self within us, naturally expresses itself in this way. And he said anyone poetry, painting and music, man's three ways of conversing with eternity that the flood has not swept away. And elsewhere he said, whoever is not a poet, a painter, a musician or an architect is not a Christian. He didn't mean anything to do with the church.
Not a human being,
because they are not expressing that living presence within them. And I bethought me this morning, making a photocopy of what Blake said, and may I read you this?
Please do.
Because it is the sort of basic text of what you write of, the religion of art, in the true sense, because it has a false sense as well. Making a religion of art is one thing, and there are people who do. The art dealers make a religion of art. Whereas the religion of art in Blake's sense is giving a new meaning to art. He said one thing alone makes a poet: imagination, the divine vision. And this is what he wrote quite late in his life. A poet, a painter, a musician, an architect. He who is not one of these is not a Christian. You must leave father's and mother's house if they are in the way of art. Prayer is the study of art. Praise is the practice of art. Fasting, etc., all relate to art. The outward ceremony is Antichrist. The eternal body of man is the imagination. God himself, the divine body, Jesus, we are his members. It manifests itself in his works of art. In eternity, all is vision. And then further on he writes, Jesus and his apostles and disciples were all artists, and the Old and New Testaments are a great code of art. Art is the tree of life. God is Jesus. Science is the tree of death. The whole business of man is the arts and all things common. No secrecy in art. The unproductive man is not a Christian, much less the destroyer. Christianity is art, not money. Money is its curse. What we call antique gems are the gems of Aaron's breastplate. And so on.
Where does this come from?
This is the comment on the Laocoon. It's written all over. He did a drawing of the Laocoon statue, and he wrote this all round, and it's been decoded by Geoffrey Keynes.